I am grateful for the invitation to speak to this important seminar. Please forgive me that I have to send this by written form and recording as I was unable to attend in person. I will address the subject of prospects for agricultural value chains in Myanmar in two parts. In the first part of my brief talk, I will discuss demand and supply prospects for value chains going to export markets. In the second part, I will focus on value chains going to Myanmar urban markets. In the third and last part of my talk, I will discuss challenges that both categories of value chains have in common, and how these challenges can be turned into opportunities for growth and transformation of Myanmar value chains. There are severe data limitations and gaps about value chain development and impacts in Myanmar, so I base my points on general estimates and initial field observations. Now to the first part of the talk, prospects from the demand and supply sides for Myanmar value chains aimed at export markets. First, for export markets on the demand side, Myanmar is in one of the best situations in the world for value chain development. It is next to and literally surrounded by the fastest growing and largest food markets in the entire world, in China, India, Southeast Asia, and eventually Bangladesh. The food markets in these countries are growing 5 to 10 times faster than those in Western Europe and the United States. Myanmar is in the best position to experience rapid value chain development fueled by regional trade in the world. The development of highways, seaports, corridors, and full access to the ASEAN free trade area will continue to make the situation better and better. Second, the demand growth from the regional market is and will be fastest in diversification products such as fruits and vegetables, poultry, fish and seafood, pulses, and edible oil. This means rapid growth in direct demand for these products, as well as derived demand for corn to feed chickens and fish. Rice demand will continue to grow, but much more slowly, as demand for rice in the Asian region is slowing and even declining in per capita terms. Third, Myanmar has good prospects of supplying these regional markets, given that half its cropped area is already under diversification products, and that it has abundant coastal areas and well-watered zones for aquaculture, and has an important rice belt. Moreover, it has what can be a growing advantage over South Asian and Southeast Asian competitors in and for the regional and world market, as it has lower labor, land, and water costs. Of course, these are held back by high input costs, low productivity, and high transport costs. But those are part of the challenges and opportunities to unlock this supply-side advantage. Fourth, the booming demand side and promising supply side look very much like the situation in Mexico and Central America in the late 1980s and early 1990s. These countries went on to take advantage of the situation with exactly the same sort of uncertain situation and rocky road at the start as Myanmar now faces, but they went on to among the most important exporters of fruits and vegetables, seafoods and pulses in the world. Look, I have only been working in and observing Myanmar a short time, but I'm already impressed at the data I have seen on the rapid rise of export value chains of fruit, fish, rice, pulses, and sesame. But it is what I've seen on the ground in field visits that has convinced me that value chains are taking off. In December and January, I went by road from Mandalay to Lashio to Musée and then over the border to Weili in China. All day on this trip, I was riding along a massive river of watermelons, a convoy going from the dry zone with hundreds and hundreds of new medium and large trucks filled with melons. I then stood in an auction of those melons at the border in Musée, and each morning there were 300 trucks coming by with $8,000 per truck of melons that they sold off and sent over the border. I then went over the border. I saw over the border a massive new wholesale market built to receive the rapid rise of Myanmar produce exports. We saw these melons repacked and sent all over China to supermarkets, to wholesale markets. That same value chain that brought that river of melons to the border brings back a river of cash to the farmers in the dry zone and to landless laborers that are working for the farmers with what we understand to be the great majority under Myanmar farmer control. I'm excited by this because I made exactly the same trip in the late 1980s in Central America and saw exactly the same river of melons and vegetables to the ports to go to the United States. And a decade later, those exports had brought prosperity to the rural zones feeding those value chains. Now I turn to the second part of my talk. Prospects for rural-urban value chains in Myanmar. The first point I want to make here is that rural-to-urban value chains in Myanmar are already very important and are due to develop quickly. Now, I can't confirm that statement with exact numbers yet. We're at the beginning of our research, but I've used data from the UNDP Rural and Urban Household Survey in 2010 and some assumptions about the size of the rural population and its growth rate. These are just assumptions because there's been no census for 30 years. But with these caveats in mind, let's examine some numbers. On the one hand, the urban population is important and appears to be growing. The extent of the size or growth, as I noted, is uncertain. The most common estimate, such as one by the World Bank, is that the urban population is about one-third of the national population. Now, another point in this line of reasoning is that the latest UNDP IHLCA survey shows that the average food expenditure in urban areas is roughly 1.2 times that of the rural food expenditure, subsistence plus purchased, per adult equivalent. Thus, from those two facts, one could roughly estimate that the urban share in the Myanmar food economy is already about 40%. And maybe about 70% for the non-rice food economy, like fruit and vegetables and poultry and fish, etc. This is an already important market then for rural food producers, as by extension are rural-urban supply chains. By way of comparison, the urban share of the food market is already 50% in India. Compare that to 40% in Myanmar. And it's already 70% in Southeast Asia. That is, in the rest of Asia, the urban food market has become the majority of the overall food economy. Rural-urban value chains are extremely important in the region. It appears that Myanmar is on that same path. In a website called Index Mundi, it guesses that the overall population growth rate in Myanmar may be around 1%, and the urbanization rate 2.5%. At those rates, in a few decades, the urban population should be about 40%, and the share of the overall food economy about 50%, like India now. Even with the caveat of how rough the estimates are for these figures point to 2 points. On the one hand, the current importance of rural-urban food chains to national food security. On the other hand, the importance of these supply chains to cash incomes of farmers, and by extension, farm workers. I've made a separate calculation that nearly 50% of the off-farm food economy, the parts of the value chains after the farm gate, that is in transport, wholesale, processing, and retail, is now in rural areas of Myanmar. Okay, so 50% of those off-farm segments are in rural areas. And that possibly as much as 20% or 25% of rural off-farm jobs outside of hired farm labor is linked to value chain activities. In other words, the value chain is important to rural people right now. A second point about rural-urban value chains is that diversification products, that is, products beyond rice, are very important to rural-urban value chains and have very good prospects. I have calculated, based on the urban population estimates and the UNDP survey data, that about 70% of Myanmar's non-rice food consumption is in the urban areas. As urban areas grow, these markets will rapidly grow, mirroring what has happened in the rest of Asia. They will grow more rapidly than overall food consumption as urban consumers diversify their diets. They may be already and come to be even more important than exports to rural suppliers. Moreover, as urban population and incomes grow, meat and fish consumption will rise quickly, creating a direct demand for value chains of these products, but also derived demand for corn to feed mills near cities. Derek Byerly of MSU, Michigan State University, estimates that already roughly 60% of corn goes into urban feed mills in Myanmar, the rest exported. The indirect evidence of the growth of these rural-urban value chains can be found in the vegetable sector. These can be seen from the fact that MSU's agricultural sector diagnostic study found that horticultural production has grown quickly, ranging from 5% per year for potatoes to 6-7% for chilies, onion, and garlic. All products that are mainly consumed domestically. Yet the overall population is only growing at 1%. This suggests in particular the growth of urban markets for vegetables. I have time. Again, as I said about export-targeted value chains, I will say again with regard to rural-urban value chains. While I'm impressed by seeing the takeoff of these value chains in the numbers and data, I'm very excited by observing on the ground their growth. Again, I give you an example. I visited Southern Shan State and was amazed at the rapid expansion of fruit and vegetable farming, of adoption of irrigation, of rapid diffusion of small farm machines for farm work and transport. I saw the rapid growth of new wholesale markets in rural areas for fruit and vegetable. We visited potato traders and truckers and found them rapidly investing in new trucks and warehouses. Potato farmers and traders supplying more and more to the Yangon and Mandalay markets. We visited tomato growers and traders on and around Inlay Lake, where collection centers had gone from just a few a decade ago to 30 collection centers today, all rushing their product to the city markets. This is the kind of value chain revolution in the making that I've seen elsewhere in Asia, and I fully expect to see this growing and growing here in Myanmar. Now I'll end my talk by briefly mentioning challenges and thus opportunities for improving value chain prospects in Myanmar with just a few points. The emerging evidence and our field observations point to an emerging takeoff of value chains in Myanmar. My reading of the situation that it is exciting and promising. However, I can also say that value chains are not flying at their full potential altitude. Maybe they're only flying 10 to 20% of their potential at present. What's holding them back? I will present a few hypotheses. I'll steer away from discussing issues of regulation and business climate, as I understand these subjects are dealt with in other talks in the seminar. I'll focus in this last part on but one set of challenges, the need for public and private infrastructure in rural areas, and from rural to urban areas and to export points. A first and most obvious and glaring challenge is the high cost of transport and the poor condition of transport infrastructure. Rural roads, rural urban highways, border crossings, and ports. I watched those melon and potato trucks laboring on the narrow and poorly surfaced roads, and imagine how extremely overburdened those roads would be in 3 years, let alone 10. Myanmar needs to plan and build its infrastructure for the boom that's already emerging, for the massive grassroots investments we are observing by truckers and traders, not for gradual growth that it's observed in the past. Myanmar also has to provide its rural producers and traders with more market channel options to the variety of regional markets and urban market points. A second challenge is the too sharply seasonal nature of produce supply. That's hurting bargaining power. There is a large need to invest in affordable small greenhouses in the cool mountain areas, irrigation in the dry zone and the hills, cold storage at urban and export market points, and icing facilities in the fish and seafood areas. These will extend the season and allow farmers and traders more bargaining power and flexibility and a range of options in selling to domestic and export markets. The counterpart is that there will be a large need for triple phase electrification in the rural areas to support this. A final, very important challenge is the need to develop both rural and urban wholesale markets. Throughout Asia and Latin America, the spread of wholesale markets as collection points and conduits to cities has been extremely important to the development of value chains. Thank you so very much for giving me the chance to present these brief remarks and show my enthusiasm and optimism for the prospects of value chain development in Myanmar. Jesu di Marit.